Let's stand together for our call to worship. Who has believed what we have heard, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Surely he has borne our infirmities and carried our diseases. Yet we account him stricken, struck down by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the punishment that made us whole. And by his bruises we are healed. Let's pray together. O Christ, who forsook no one, but was forsaken by the closest of friends, and who committed no crime, yet was sentenced to a criminal's death, we enter your presence in awe and adoration. On this day, centuries ago, you could have saved your life, but you refused to betray the purpose for which you had been born. You had come into the world to love God and neighbor as yourself. This was the love for which you had been created. And when that love required you to shoulder a cross, you summoned the strength to bear it. Today, O Christ, as we sing and pray about the cross, teach us its meaning once again, and help us to take up our cross and follow you. Amen. Amen. Grace and peace to you all, from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together and sing Above All. Please be seated.
After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' say, 'The Lord needs it.'" Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" And they replied, "The Lord needs it." They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace. But now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They will dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you."
Let's pray together a prayer of confession. As we remember Christ's suffering in Gethsemane, our hearts are filled with shame that we foolishly waste our time in idleness and that we make little to no progress in the Christian life from day to day. We lament that war and lust flourish and grow more rampant every day. Forgive us for our cruel indifference to the cross. Teach us the good news of your forgiveness. Allow humanity, degenerate as it is, to live anew, and hasten the day when the whole world shall be born again. Amen. Amen.
He went on to tell people this parable. a man planted a vineyard, rented it to some farmers, and went away for a long time. At harvest time, he sent a servant to the tenants so they would give him some of the fruit of the vineyard. But the tenants beat him and sent him away empty-handed. He sent another servant, but that one also they beat. They treated shamefully and sent away empty-handed. He sent still a third, and they wounded him and threw him out. Then the owner of the vineyard said, "What shall I do? I will send my son, whom I love. Perhaps they will respect him." But when the tenants saw him, they talked the matter over. "This is the heir," they said. "Let's kill him, and the inheritance will be ours." So they threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. What then will the owner of the vineyard do to them? He will come and kill those tenants and give the vineyard to others. When the people heard this, they said, "God forbid." Jesus looked directly at them and said, "This is what the meaning is of which is written. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Everyone who falls on that stone will be broken to pieces. Anyone on whom it falls will be crushed." The teachers of the law and the chief priests looked for a way to arrest him immediately because they knew he had spoken this parable against them. But they were afraid of the people.
Then Jesus said to them, "Why is it said that the Messiah is the son of David? David himself declares in the book of Psalms, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet.' David calls him Lord. He then can be his son." While all the people were listening, Jesus said to his disciples, "Beware of the teachers of the law. They like to walk around in flowing robes and love to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces, and have the most important seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for show make lengthy prayers. These men will be punished most severely." As Jesus looked up, he saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in two very small copper coins. "Truly I tell you," he said, "the poor widow has put in more than all the others. Mm-hmm. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on."
It's time now for our offering.
The Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that He should give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns His face as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath hath brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, His death and resurrection. Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, His wounds have paid my ransom. Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, His wounds have paid my
Then came the day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had been sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and make preparations for us to eat the Passover." "Where do you want us to prepare for it?" they asked. He replied, "As you enter the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him to the house that he enters, and say to the owner of the house." The teacher asked, "Where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?" "He will show you a large room upstairs, all furnished. Make preparations there." They left and found things just as Jesus had told them, so they prepared the Passover. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God." After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, He took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. But the hand of him who is going to betray me is with mine on the table. The Son of Man will go as it has been decreed. But woe to that man who betrays him." They began to question among themselves which of them it might be who would do this.
It's now time for our service of communion, so if the elders would please come forward, we'll begin. The Lord has prepared his table for all those who love him and trust in him alone for their salvation, all who are truly sorry for their sins, who sincerely believe in the Lord Jesus as their Savior, and who desire to live in obedience to him as Lord, are now invited with gladness to the table of the Lord. Go ahead and sit. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Supper which we are about to celebrate is a feast of remembrance, of communion, and of hope. We come in remembrance that our Lord Jesus Christ was sent of the Father into the world to assume our flesh and blood, and to fulfill for us all obedience, even to the bitter and shameful death of the cross. By his life, death, and resurrection and ascension, he established a new and eternal covenant of grace and reconciliation, that we might be accepted of God and never be forsaken of him. We come to have communion with the same Christ who has promised to be with us always, even to the end of the world. In the breaking of the bread, he makes himself known to us as the true heavenly bread that strengthens us unto eternal life. In the cup of blessing, he comes to us as the vine in whom we must abide if we are to bear fruit. We come in hope, believing that this bread and this cup are a pledge and foretaste of the feast of love, of which we shall partake when his kingdom has fully come, when, with unveiled faces, we shall behold him, made like unto him in his glory. Since by his death, resurrection, and ascension, he has obtained for us the life-giving Spirit who unites all in one body, so are we to receive this supper in true brotherly love, mindful of the communion of all saints. Come, for all things are now ready. Lift up your hearts.
Lift them up to the Lord.
Holy and right it is, and our joyful duty to give you thanks at all times and in all places. O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and everlasting God, you created the heavens with all its hosts, the earth with all its plenty. You have given us life and being, and preserve us by your providence. But you have shown us the fullness of your love in sending into the world the eternal Word, even Jesus Christ, our Lord, who became a human for us and for our salvation. For the precious gift of this mighty Savior, who has reconciled us to you, we praise and bless you, O God. Therefore, with the whole church on earth and all the company of heaven, we worship and adore your glorious name. Holy, 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 Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Amen. Holy and righteous Father, as we commemorate in this supper that perfect sacrifice once offered on the cross by our Lord Jesus Christ for the sin of the whole world, in the joy of his resurrection and in expectation of his coming again, we offer to you ourselves as holy and living sacrifices. Send your Holy Spirit upon us, we pray, that the bread which we break may be to us the communion of the body of Christ, and the cup which we bless, the communion of his blood. Grant that being joined together in him, we may attain to the unity of the faith and grow up in all things into him who is the head, even Christ, our Lord. And as this grain has been gathered from many fields into one loaf, and these grapes from many hills into one cup, grant, O Lord, that your whole church may soon be gathered from the ends of the earth into your kingdom. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. And now, as our Savior has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he took the cup. When they had eaten, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do in remembrance of me. The bread which we break is a communion of the body of Christ. The cup of blessing which we bless is a communion of the blood of Christ. Brothers and sisters, we'll be taking communion by coming to the front once again, as we have been doing for a while now. We'll stand in just a second and move to the north, and we'll come forward on the north, come across, and there will be the bread and then the cup, and then you'll go back on the aisle on the south side of your pew. If there is anyone who cannot come forward, just raise your hand up, and I will bring the elements to you. Come, for all things are now ready.
Demands my life, my life, my life.
Let's pray together. Beloved in the Lord, since the Lord has now fed our souls at his table, let us therefore praise his holy name with thanksgiving and prayer. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor requite us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. And as far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him, who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, and will also give us all things with him. Therefore shall my mouth and heart show forth the praise of the Lord from this time and forevermore. Amen.
Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. When he rose from prayer and he went back to the disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. "Why are you sleeping?" he asked them. "Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation."
Go on up to the mountain of mercy, to the crimson perpetual tide. Kneel down by the shore, be thirsty no more. Go under and be purified. Follow Christ to the holy mountain. Sinners sorry and wrecked by the fall, cleanse your heart and your soul in the fountain that flows for you and for me and for all. At the wonderful, tragic, mysterious tree, on that beautiful, scandalous night, you and me were atoned by his blood and forever washed white. On that beautiful, scandalous night, on the hillside you will be delivered, at the foot of the cross justified, and your spirit restored by the river that pours from our blessed Savior's side. At the wonderful, tragic, mysterious tree, on that beautiful, scandalous night, you and me were atoned by his blood and forever washed white. On that beautiful, scandalous night, at the wonderful, tragic, mysterious tree, on that beautiful, scandalous night, you and me were atoned by his blood and forever washed white. On that beautiful, scandalous night, go on up to the mountain of mercy, to the crimson perpetual tide. Kneel down by the shore, be thirsty no more. Go under and be purified. At the wonderful, tragic, mysterious tree, on that beautiful, scandalous night, you and me were atoned by his blood and forever washed white. On that beautiful, scandalous night, on that beautiful, scandalous night, miraculous night.
As the soldiers led him away, they seized Simon of Cyrene, who was on his way in from the country, and put the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A large number of people followed him, including women who mourned and wailed for him. Jesus turned and said to them, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children. For the time will come when you will say, 'Blessed are the childless women, the wombs that never bore and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if people do these things when the tree is green, what will happen when it's dry?" Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the King of Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him, which read, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God?" he said, "since you are under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise."
Can you turn to your red book, 221?
Sacred head, what glory! was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m, for the sun stopped shining. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last. The centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, "Surely this was a righteous man." When all the people who had gathered to witness this sight saw what took place, they beat their breasts and went away. But all those who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching these things. Now there was a man named Joseph, a member of the council, a good and upright man, who had not consented to their decision and action. He came from the Judean town of Arimathea, and he himself was waiting for the kingdom of God. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body. Then he took it down, wrapped it in linen cloth, and placed it in a tomb cut in the rock, one in which no one had yet been laid. It was preparation day, and the Sabbath was about to begin. The women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph and saw the tomb and how his body was laid in it. Then they went home and prepared spices and perfumes, but they rested on the Sabbath in obedience to the commandment.
The death of Jesus is messy. It shouldn't surprise us because he was crucified on a cross. One of the most humiliating and painful experiences a person could endure. But even in the Gospel of Luke, we hear how his death was messy. But that shouldn't surprise us. It shouldn't surprise us that this perfect one, this righteous person, the King, the Messiah, the Anointed One of God, the one who went up to a dead girl, and touched her, took on the uncleanness of the dead onto himself in order to bring life to her and her family. It shouldn't surprise us that the one who went up to the young boy on a funeral procession to take his dirt and shame and uncleanness upon Jesus took it upon himself so that that young boy might be restored to his mother. The same Jesus who we see in the Gospel of Luke regularly, repeatedly, going into the house of sinners, the house of tax collectors, for the very purpose of bringing to them the presence of God. And we hear in Jesus' death, ultimately, how dirty salvation is. We come on Friday night, a special time, because the most amazing thing in the world has happened. The King of the universe, the Creator of all things, came to this earth, was born of a person, born as a person, as a little baby, lived a perfect life, showed us what a life lived in love really is, told us, preached to us, loved us, human beings, in our suffering, in our pain, in our dirtiness and our brokenness. Jesus came to those who were cast out, those who weren't clean, those who weren't accepted by society. And he came with a message of love, but ultimately of reconciliation, of bringing in those who are estranged, of making broken things new. And so tonight, we want to look at just two particular people who exemplify this story most clearly. As an aside, in the Gospel of Luke, we hear that through the process of Jesus' trial, Pilate and Herod became friends, whereas before they had been enemies. And that's always interesting to me to hear this little historical aside. But think about it in the larger context of what Jesus has been preaching and proclaiming and living his entire ministry in the Gospel of Luke. Jesus is coming to say, the kingdom of God has come. The Messiah, the one who will reconcile all things to God, has come. And so Luke throws in this little jab to say, even in his death, those who killed him can't help but be reconciled because of the life of this one Jesus. One of the characters we want to examine tonight is that of the robber on the cross, the thief who is looking at his fellow thief and says, stop ridiculing him. He's innocent. He's done nothing wrong. Don't you know? Don't you fear God? He says. And then he looks at Jesus and says, Jesus, remember me. And Jesus, in so true to what he has done throughout the entire Gospel of Luke, while he's on the cross, looks at that thief and says, today, you will be with me in paradise. Me, the king of the world, the righteous one, the one who is going back from whence he came. I know, Jesus says, I know that I will be in paradise when I die. And he extends that grace, that life, that reconciliation to this one who's been estranged for who knows how long. You, my son, will be with me, the king says. And then the second person we want to look at tonight is Simon of Cyrene. Simon, a Jew from the city-state of Cyrene, which is on the northern coast of Africa. He has come to celebrate the Passover. And little does he know it, but he becomes the ultimate example of what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Throughout the Gospels, Jesus tells his disciples, if you really want to be my followers, if you really want to follow in my footsteps, you have to take up your cross and follow me. And Simon of Cyrene literally takes up the cross of Christ to follow Jesus. Through these two characters, these two participants in the story, we get such a beautiful picture of what the story of this Good Friday and Easter really is. The story of the thief, the one who deserves punishment, the one who deserves to die. Just crying out to God and saying, remember me. And not only does God remember with some pity or some condolence, but the God of the universe welcomes him into the family. But we also see that this life comes at a cost. We are not called to a life like Herod, or a life like Pilate, or a life like the chief priests, of long flowing robes and comfortable seats and accolades by everyone because they fear us. We are called to take up our cross and walk the road to the hill called the Skull, where we daily give up our lives to say, Lord Jesus, have your way. Lord Jesus, let your kingdom come in my life today as it is in heaven. Let's pray together. Holy God, you have opened our ears to hear your word and our lips to proclaim your truth. Open our eyes this day to see in the cross the revelation of your love. Through Jesus, the crucified, to whom, with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, be honor and praise, now and forever. Amen. Let's stand together as we sing our closing song.
Jesus Christ, I think upon your sacrifice. You became nothing, poured out to death. Many times I've wondered at your gift of life, and I'm in that place once again. And I'm in that place once again.
Receive this benediction. May you find in the cross a sure ground for faith, a firm support for hope, and the assurance of sins forgiven. And may the blessing of God go with you now and forevermore. Amen.
Here I living sacrifice, let your will be done in me.